Off the ball. Rugby.
Jesus, Michael Checker. He's a real polarizing guy. Like, you know, you read Rob Kearney's book and you go, Jesus, and then you talk to other people and say, you know, the guy made my career, you know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, we just watched Aston Villa 1, West Ham 1. Villa led for a large chunk of the game and looked like they were going to close the gap on the top four, the top five. Did we see the effects there today of Champions League football on that Villa squad?
Yeah, I think that's one of the angles you could probably put at it, definitely. They definitely started very fast, Aston Villa. They were the dominant team for the first half an hour. Like, absolutely, they were attacking so well through Morgan Rodgers through the middle of the pitch. Bailey was coming in well, Ramsey was coming in well. They were all receiving the ball in the middle of the pitch and had good bits of end product. The goal came from that. But then once Tyrone Mings went down, West Ham managed to kind of gather themselves together, and they totally had a totally different approach to the game, and it put Aston Villa on the back foot, and they done nothing, or they gave nothing to kind of change their approach towards it. They made some good subs, all the front four came off, but the subs that came on didn't really do anything. They lacked the energy that I'm sure Unai Emery wanted them to provide for the side, and it never happened. West Ham probably rode their luck in the sense of Alvarez should have been sent off. Probably should have been sent off a couple of times, if that's even possible. But they rather took him off when they knew they had to. But they were the ones that should have probably went away with the 3 points in the end. If they had won the game, Unai Emery, I think, would have looked back and said, yeah, no, we deserve to lose that, definitely.
Is it understandable what happened, Villa, after Tyrone Mings went off, where they have to move Luka Dean into centre-back? And, you know, you look at the position they were in, where they had so many options when Tyrone Mings came back. Diogo Carlos, Pau Torres, Ezri Konsa, Tyrone Mings, and suddenly they're stuck with Luka Dean at centre back, and he looked a little, I don't know, was it him or was it Ian Matson at left back? But suddenly that right hand side for West Ham, they made so much in the second half.
Yeah, that, like, I think there's a bit of both of them in it. Like, I think Matson didn't cover himself in glory. He had a shaky start against Arsenal there last week. He had to be took off at half time. Good opportunity now for him to get 60 minutes today, and I wouldn't say he done very well in that game. You know, there was once or twice he did break through the middle of the pitch, intercepting things, and product wasn't there. Very poor when he got into the final third of the pitch. And then it's the balance of him and Digne playing out of position. Paqueta started playing up against him a lot, really putting his body up against him. He was acting as a target man at times and done very, very well against him. And there was a few shaky moments that can rattle the player's confidence. See Digne playing sloppy back passes to Martinez. Martinez nearly getting caught out at times due to it. And yeah, definitely puts unease into his side. We've seen it with it, like Arsenal last week, for example, Partey playing right back, and they get hurt down that side from Aston Villa, funnily enough. You can see it kind of happening again on Aston Villa's turn this week.
The big disappointment was probably the lack of impact then from the attacking substitutes, because they ended up taking off all four of the attacking players. And we'd mentioned a few times during commentary of, geez, Villa are in a great position in terms of the strength of the squad with the addition of Daniel Malin as well. There's, you know, John Duran coming on, John McGinn is coming on, Buendia comes on, and they really struggle to make any sort of an impact.
Yeah, definitely. I think Malin probably put himself a bit about more than the others, without actually producing anything of anything that was worthy. Duran was quiet enough. Buendia picked himself up onto that kind of left side, and Wan-Bissaka just had him in his back pocket at all times. He was even giving Buendia 5, 10, 15 yards to run, and Wan-Bissaka was running after him and catching him, forcing him to come back again and start again. It's just as the athleticism of Wan-Bissaka, who was excellent for West Ham today. But yeah, like, you know, Emery would have been, had one mind on Wednesday, the Champions League, trying to get through to the last 16. I'll take off these attackers, help them out. I've got good lads coming on here, but they didn't show the energy and have the impact that he would have liked.
What's your Villa attack if everybody's fresh and everybody's fit, and if they're heading into, say, quarterfinals of the Champions League, what do you think works best for them?
You'd have to say that, like, Watkins leads the line 100%, there's no doubts there, and Rodgers definitely in behind them. Like, the rest of them are, like, it's actually really good in that sense that, like, they're all more or less the same, and you can kind of throw them in anywhere. Like, Ramsey was good today, he gets his rewards with the goal. I liked Malin when I seen him, picked up against Real Madrid there a few months ago and had an excellent performance against them in the Bernabeu. So he's a really, really good player. He's a good signing for them. So like, it's hard to really know, you know. I think Bailey probably has to give a bit more now. I think he had phases throughout his Aston Villa career where he'd have moments of like 4, 5, 6 weeks of really good performances and then die out again. You wouldn't see much of him. I think he needs to be a more consistent performer to kind of hold on to his place on that side.
But you don't see any way that it's Duran and Watkins together?
No, and especially after Emery's comments after the loss to Monaco during the week, he put them on. He had them together for the last half an hour, 35 minutes, and after the game he kind of blamed the two of them for not getting back into it, saying we lost control of the game, having them two up the pitch, we lost our compactness. So he's very unhappy with playing the two of them, so it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Listen, it's a setback for Aston Villa, but the job that Unai Emery has done and getting them to this position where they go into the game against Celtic on Wednesday night, knowing that a win will almost certainly see them finish inside the top eight and straight through to the last 16 of the Champions League. They're still going to scrap all the way to the end of the season to finish inside the top five. Where Villa are, like, do you look at them and go, you know, geez, they could cause a few shocks when they get into those latter stages of the Champions League?
Well, like, on their day, like, when it gets into knockout competition, like, on their day, they're really, really good. Like, you can't argue against that attacking threat they have, especially do it so centrally. It's kind of a bit unique. Like, they're wide men, they start wide, but when they receive the ball, they nearly always receive it in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
And they just attack you down your throat. And it's really effective. You know, you've got Watkins on the shoulder who just stretches the play constantly. And when he gets service, more often than not, he'll get you a goal as well. So, yeah, I think they can cause an upset. And, like, you have to give Unai Emery, like, huge credit for the job he's done there, like, from since when he came over to them being out, like, Champions League qualifier potentials constantly every year. They're near enough touching on the top four, top six or whatever, and now when they're in the Champions League, he's got a great opportunity on Wednesday to bring them into the last 16.
We only saw probably glimpses today of what Morgan Rogers is about, but at 22, his first full season in the Premier League, what a talent.
Yeah, amazing. Like, you know, and again, like, and West Ham are a bit sloppy at times, leaving him in so much space in the middle of the pitch, but he's such a good ball carrier. Like, he can receive a ball 70 yards away from goal and carry it so well. He can get you up the pitch so easily. There was times the ball was landing to his feet, it looked like he'd no control, three or four players around him, and somehow he gets out of the bundle and makes a nice layoff. And by doing that, he's took three defenders out of the game completely. So he's a big, big player for them, big, big threat for them. But yeah, another Man City Academy graduate, like, you know, they seem to keep turning them out, like, all these young players that they get through, they don't seem to hold on to them, but they're going on to play for other Premier League sides now and do great things. But he's going to have such a great career if he keeps going the way he is.
On West Ham then, like, the difference between the first 15 minutes of that game and the last 15 minutes couldn't have been more stark, because they were terrible in how they started the game, but really probably should have won it at the end. And a lot of individual performances to look at, particularly I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Is this going to be the start of a trend of players who were written off because of what happened at Manchester United been able to re-establish themselves? Because, you know, for 15 million quid, having, you know, gone for 50 billion initially, he was brilliant out there today.
Oh, he was excellent, yeah. And obviously we all know about his athleticism, and he rarely gets beat defensively, like, because he's so strong and fast. His positioning's reasonably good as well. He just kind of lacks that kind of end product when he gets into the final third. He had a great moment there where he burst through three players into the box, gets to the end line, and it's like a rocket shot across the box, and it just flies past everyone. Doesn't really give the attackers a chance to get on the end of it. Improves his end game, and he'd be the type of player that I'm sure Man United would want to try and sign back. But, like, it's hard to see him do that. But he's a big, big player for West Ham, and he's been a really, really good signing for them.
The pressure they were under for large periods in the first half and the way it changed in the second, like, was that all down to Tyrone Mings, or did you see things that Graham Potter did at halftime that allowed them play so well in the second half?
Yeah, I think it was before half time. I think there was, when Mings went down, Potter had the whole team over on the sideline. It seemed to kind of switch. Paqueta and Kubis were kind of both having goals at being the top man, and neither of them were really doing it. And he just put Paqueta up there, and straight away he started pressing hard. And that's kind of what you kind of remember Graham Potter's teams being like, especially at Brighton, is that they have that high press to try and nick the ball back off you in your own final third. And they started doing that really, really well. And they just continued it through the whole game. Anytime Aston Villa got a bit of momentum, of the dark arts would come out and they'd be rolling around the floor and slowed the game down. Me and you were very frustrated at times watching it. There was large periods where there was no football played and it was just all waiting for VAR stuff to come through, and it was a bit annoying. But that played into West Ham's favour, And you have to hand it to Pequeta, like, leading that line. He'd done it so, so well. Would have been a different story if Mings was still on the pitch because of Mings' physicality up against them. But they knew where the weakness was in the Aston Villa side. Pequeta got up against Digne and done very well against them.
Obviously, they're missing that number nine, and Mikel Antonio isn't going to be back before the end of this season. Full Krug hasn't worked out for various different reasons, injuries as well, and they've been strongly linked as one of the teams potentially in for Evan Ferguson as a loan move for the remainder of the season. Would it be a good place for him to go, considering they're not going to be relegated? There's no great pressure in comparison to a lot of the other clubs he's been linked to.
I don't know. It depends on his options. Always depends on his options. Like, what a wonderful club to say you've played for, like, if he ever does go there. But I'd love him to go to a club that has an abundance of service for him. You know, I'd love him to be at a club where you know he's going to get two or three chances every game instead of maybe one chance every two or three games. And I think that's something that's very important in his next move.
All right, good stuff, Paul.
Thank you.